thank God for
the ability to get Jesus praise.
Amen. Right.
Bible says, "May the joyful noise of the Lord." To let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Amen. We have given the Lord praise. Let us now take a look at the sacred text in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. I'll be reading from New King James translation. If I could call your attention to verses 12 and following here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum unto the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole them away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." I'd like to speak on the subject of the message of the church. You may be seated. The message of the church. Amen. We thank God that He has graced us to assemble here today. As I mentioned previously, we have been out on a missionary journey. I have many, many memories associated with this church. It's hard for me to come here and just not be overwhelmed to see what God has done. The founding pastor of this church performed our wedding ceremony when we were not even members here a long, long time ago, over 25 years ago. Sister Fisher and I, and Sister Charlotte actually played music at our wedding. And of course, I came up under the ministry of Reverend Eugene Martin, and was also ordained here in the Missionary Baptist Church in 93. Amen. Since that time, as I mentioned earlier, 7 years ago, we got here. We did our first service away from Mount Merrill on August 15th, 7 years ago from the coming August 15th, which is just 3 weeks out front. And so the full 7 years, I've been down, like I said, number seven, kind of circulated us back here. And I don't know what the Lord has in store for our ministry for the future. But as I said, I am just looking forward to being led by God to do whatever it is that God would have me to do. In that time, I'm sure I preached to thousands of people. We've been out in the prisons and the shelters and in a lot of different places. I was listening to my brother. I guess y'all know if he's still here from the Gospel Gazette and the work that he was talking about that he's doing in town, and I commend him for that. Because a lot of people talk about foreign missions, as he said, but America has become a mission field. Right here, the gospel is not understood. And it's slowly slipping away day by day by day. The church is becoming more and more distant from God. And I think the problem centers on the topic of our message today, that sometimes I believe that the church has forgotten the message of the church. And so we want to talk about that just a little bit here today. When Jesus was leaving, as we see here, this is in the final chapter of Matthew's gospel. Several things have taken place in recent time previous to this. The verse that we read here, which was the final two verses, which is known as the Great Commission. That's when Jesus dispatched his apostles and sent his disciples out into the world. They were disciples up to this time. Once he told them to go out and sent them out, it was at this point they made the transition from disciple to apostle. They were sent out. The word apostolos in the Greek means one who has been sent. And so these apostles went out from the presence of the risen Christ. From this particular place where he had met them in the mountain in Galilee, it says here. And he told them the good news, which we call basically the Great Commission here, which, let's just break this down a little bit. The Great Commission is what the instruction is to the church, and that is to dispatch us out into the world that we might go and bear witness of the gospel, the good news that God has sent his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Jesus wants these disciples to be encouraged. He lets them know in verse 18 that all power is given to me. There are only 11 of them left. At this time, Judas had parted company with the 12 and had committed suicide already because he had been walking with the prince of darkness. He had been working with Satan. He had been involved in the evil occupation against the very plan of God, and he was an antagonist against the message of the church. And so there are 11, as you see here in verse number 16 of Matthew 28, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Now, but there were some doubters. There were some who doubted even among the 11. They weren't certain what it meant that Jesus the Messiah had risen from the dead. And yet they worshipped him. And so Jesus gave them this announcement that we have here in chapter number 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. This is that same Jesus that was in mind who was wounded for the transgression of the enemy. He had been crucified 3 days before. He had been mutilated and lifted up on the cross, hung between heaven and earth. He had shed his blood for remission of the sins of the world. But nobody understood that at this time. There was absolutely no understanding until they saw the rainbow. And the empty tomb was revealed. And they understood that this Jesus had all the parts even over death. Held in the grave, but he had gotten up with all power in his hand. But you know what? It's very hard for anybody to accept somebody rising from the dead and seeing them again. So we can see why the writer Matthew included that some doubted. Most of them worshiped because they knew it was an awesome feat, the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, had done exactly as he had promised, that he had come into the world, he had shown them the way to walk, the way to live, he had fulfilled the prophecy of the scriptures, he had done everything necessary in order to redeem them from their sin and to satisfy God the Father on their behalf. And yet, they did not understand why he had to die. When they saw the death and the mutilation of the perfect Son of God, they did like we always do when we are leaving away from a funeral. We have great remorse and great mourning because it was someone that we love. But when they saw him again, this is the magnitude of seeing Jesus again, risen from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights. And he came and he spake to them because he knew they were, their souls were shaken because of this event. He said to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he said, go ye therefore, all of you, go therefore and teach all the nations. He sent the apostles out on a message, and with the message of the church, and he sent them out to teach all the nations. He said, go out. He didn't say stop short of the Hindus, stop short of the Muslims, stop short of any of these people who were worshiping in the temple of Diana. Stop short of those who were at Athens that were worshiping all kinds of gods and gentlemen. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know what that means to me? Right now today, as you and I go into the world, taking the message of the church to the multitude. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I would ask you today, has the world ended yet? I ask, has the world ended? I don't think so. So that means what? The Lord Jesus Christ is with you as you go out into the world. But you know what? When we look at ourselves where we are here today in the world, as we view the world today, it is easy to see that the prophecies of the Bible are surely coming to pass right before our eyes. The signs that Jesus taught his disciples that will be obvious in the last days are all around us in the world, and sadly enough, even in the church. In the church, we see the signs that Jesus said that will be going on in these last and evil days. Jesus in Matthew 24 said there will be, in this prophecy, when the disciples asked, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the world? He said, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. First of all, he said, take heed that no man deceives you. There will be deception going on in the world. People who have other agendas other than the agenda of the church. I think the message of the church to the world. There will be someone else who will rise up in his name representing him, yet they have another of his in mind. They have something else they want to do other than spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, not only that, but there will be wars and rumors of wars. Right now, today, we have war in Iraq. We have war in Afghanistan. We have war all over the world. Then we have the rumors of war. They're talking about the destruction that Korea might bring upon the world, the threat of nuclear armaments. And we have terrorism and violence and on in the world right now today. People say, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And yesterday we had pedophile kidnappers who take folks and steal and murder their parents and rape them and carry them about and murder and pornography on every side. Gang-related violence and evil and degrading games and music promoting every form of what they call deviant behavior just a few years ago has now become popular. Just a few years ago, this stuff was been called deviant. Yet now it is being publicly steered for on television, radio, the internet, and even parades in our streets and in our neighborhoods. And the twice that are on us and our children to steal away their innocence. And this is the kind of world that we live in. And Jesus predicted this completely. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, abortion, gambling, the twisting of the roles of men, women, and even children are being propagated today in the world, and sadly enough, even in the church. It's very sad when the church has the message of life, the only way by which anyone can be made right with God. But yet we occupy ourselves with foolishness and all kinds of worldly things and worldly pursuits. But yet there is a message for of the church that the church is told, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is the gospel of Christ that is the business and the message of the church. And so we see all the other things Jesus said, or earthquakes, and famine, and pestilence, he said, in diverse places. We've had tsunamis that have struck and killed thousands in one fell swoop. We've had hurricanes and mudslides and all kinds of things that Jesus predicted when he told his disciples that these will be the signs of the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man. And so I'm amazed that when all these kind of things go on in the world, the fallen men, rather than acknowledging that it is the people judgment of God, followed up on a godless culture who has rejected his Son, that they tell us that Mother Nature is responsible for all these things. They say we don't need no Papa Dad Puttery. They have some kind of thing that they have concocted in their evil spirit to deny the fact that possibly the judgment of God could be falling up on the earth. And so it's hard for them to understand that these signs are the things that Jesus predicted. And what God said would happen just before he began to execute his plan and to close out the reign of man upon earth and to usher in the kingdom of his own begotten Son. So I'll ask the question, what is the message of the church? We want to make sure that nobody here today believes not understanding what is the message of the church. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Share this. There was a lot of confusion in the Corinthian church. As I prayed about this for my girl, I thought about some of the confusion that may have been going on right here between these sacred walls that God has set up for the preaching of His Word, the message of the church. I thought about the confusion and the type of thing that may possibly have hidden into these doors to try to steal the joy somehow. And then I thought about what the Apostle Paul said. He wrote to the early Corinthian church as they ended with all kinds of confusion and factions and divisions within themselves. And Christ said, Paul said to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ said me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, for the preaching of the cross was to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it was the power of God.
Right.
So the preaching of the gospel of Christ is the power of God.
Right.
And we want people to understand. There may be somebody here today that does not understand what I'm talking about. But I want to make it plain today. I want you to understand there is only one way that you can be saved. Maybe you're guilty of some of the very things that the Lord said are taking place in the last days. what there is to do. The Lord has given His only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world and lived here for 33.5 years on planet Earth. He came and He was full of grace and truth, the Apostle John tells us. He was the Word who had become flesh that dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the only one who came that is able to bear your sin and make you clean in the sight of God. He does this all by Himself. Nobody can share the glory that Christ has to Himself. He is the only one that is able to make you clean. If you're here today and you have committed sin, you have sinned against God, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then you can understand that there is grace available because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God sent His only Son, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, to bless those who have sinned, who are willing to repent of their sin. And so He gave us the proud privilege, those of us who believe in Him and trust in His name and His name alone, to go out into all the world and teach all the nations the message of the church, which is that there is hope. Even beyond the grave, maybe you've lost a loved one and you might like to see them again. Maybe there's somebody who you've been hurt by. Maybe you are experiencing pain and agony and separation of death or any type of thing at all. No matter what it is, there is one way that you can be made right with God, and that is through the message of the church. God has sent His only Son, who came out of eternity, being equal with the Father, in order to be the ransom for your sin. Not only is He the ransom for your sin, but Jesus is the healer for your sickness. Jesus is the comforter for your troubled mind. Jesus is the one who, basically, if you trust in Him, He can take care of everything. Doesn't mean trouble will go away. But it does mean that He will be with you, just like He said, always, even to the end of the world. He can strengthen you when you fall down. He can build you up when you've been broken down. When people criticize you, He is there to comfort you. No matter what it is in this world that will come upon you as a result of sin, He is able to keep you and bless you and to protect you. But the message is a single, a solitary message of the church, is that God has one way. He has put the proclamation into the world that whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God will not be put to death. They will not be put to shame. But they will enter into glory with God, the King of Kings. They will be co-heirs with Christ and His blessings from His body. See, but sometimes I believe the message of the church is clouded with all kinds of other things. All kinds of stuff is critical and important to someone. And so we have to realize this, that to whom is the message of the church? Who does God want the message of the church to go to? And the answer is to everyone. No matter who you are, what you have done, if you trust in the Lord and believe in Him, God is able to forgive you. God is willing to forgive you. There is no other way that you can be forgiven. There's only one way, and that is by grace, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the death of the Messiah, accounted to you for righteousness, that's the only way that we can be saved. So the message of the church is to everyone. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says this: the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. He says this: but the day of the Lord will come. There is a coming day of judgment. This world cannot continue to go all the way it is. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse every day. But the world cannot continue to go on as it is. The Bible even says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. God's children will be the ones who should be starting out in the process of judgment. We should be judging ourselves one with another in order that we can take the Word and the Spirit that God has given us and work out our problems and our difficulties before that terrible day comes. That's why Paul says that the day of the Lord will not overtake those who are in Christ as a thief. But the day of the Lord will come, and will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And also the works and that are therein shall be burned up. There is a fiery destruction coming up on the world. And so there's one way to deliver a person from that destruction, and that is by the message of the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We call it gospel because of the good news that God has made a way. That no matter what you have done, if you're here today and you're not sure that you're covered and protected by God, then you need to receive the message of the church that God loves you. He extended his grace beyond the limits of human imagination by giving his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That Jesus came to bear our sins in his body on the cross. He did that for you. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it now. Right now is the time you can accept the Lord as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. So what is our part as saints within the corporate church body and to the message of the church and delivering and the deliverance of this message of the church? What part do we have as a church? Well, we've been told to go out and take the resources that we put together, the offerings that we collect, and those things are geared toward the transmission of the message of the church. We are the representatives of God broadcasting the gospel to the ends of the world as far as we can with the capabilities that God has given us. We ought to take our minds and our prayers and direct them toward the fallen world and getting out the message of the church. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You know what? There's some doctors in high and prominent places. They cannot promise you that they are delivering you from your sickness, for Jesus came. There are some all kinds of people with all kinds of psychology and drugs and medicines that they cannot help you sometimes, for Jesus came. There's all kinds of people with all kinds of foolishness that they try to tell you, with all kinds of psychic hotlines and phenomena of that type, that they think that they might be able to render you some service for 29.95. But that can't help you. But Jesus can. There might be somebody with all kinds of offerings that they may do it, and even a witch doctor, you might find anything in the real time in which you do it. They cannot help you, but Jesus can. If you're explaining today what you need is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And basically, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. We understand that God has put down his blessing into the world. You can say God's hand is wide open so that you can see exactly what is in his heart. Nobody will be surprised. God has not conducted his work behind a curtain anymore. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus was revealed to be the Savior of the world. So he was evidently set forth crucified among you, it says in the book of Galatians chapter number 3. And so God's deal is open for everyone. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord, you need him right now. Even if you're just a sin-sick sinner like all of us were at one time, you need the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And you need not wait one more minute. You need to come. If you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, get up right now. Don't waste one more second of your time and of your life, because life is precious and you can be saved right now. You can go out here today knowing that God has watched you and removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. So far as you remove my transgressions from me, he will do that to you. Every day today. Don't be trusting in your work or in your job or in your money or anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God will tell you right now, receive the message of the church. You know, the church has a great message because it's the only way that anyone will ever be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You must come by him, or you come as a thief and a robber. That's what he said.